Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the room. Let's get right to it. Today is your cup running over, or has the oil stayed? That's the what we're going to be talking about today. Your cup, is it running over, or has the oil stayed? Thank you, Lord, once again, for the entrance of your word brings light. So let it be, even as we enter into the word, let the word itself enter into us, shining that light in us, around us, and through us, giving us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start here and get right to it in Psalm 23 and verse 5. You heard that psalm. You've read it multiple times before. Let's bring a perspective here this morning. The psalmist said, you know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. So that's our foundational text this morning, Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. You know, so let me say this right away. God wants us to thrive and not just to survive. So we are going to check out a few scriptures here just to encourage you. Hope that it brightens your day. It is nothing that you don't already know, but we hope that it will brighten your day. Hallelujah. There are some stories, interesting stories in the Bible that bring out this viewpoint. Before we get to these stories, think of God as, you know, constantly dishing something out, you know, but we have to come there to receive it, right? Think of a river that is flowing. Hallelujah. But you got to go to the river, you know, and you know, pick up some of the water as you need. But the river is flowing. It's already, I mean, it's constantly flowing. You know, just think of it like that. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, you know, that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. You know, in the book of Psalm 46, there are many ways that the psalmist, this, you know, depicts, you know, the goodness of God. Here's how he puts it here in Psalm 46 and verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Hallelujah. You know, so this river is flowing, you know, and now we got to come and take our fill. Hallelujah. A couple of stories that we want to look at quickly today. 2 Kings chapter 4. Powerful man of God, this Elisha was. And there were a few things, you know, in this story that we want to bring out. You know, we all know this story, but let's consider just a few elements of the story. You know, we start at 2 Kings chapter 4, and we start at verse 1. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And now the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, well, thy handmaid had not anything in the house except a pot of oil. And Elisha, he's thinking, well, that's enough. That's actually more than enough. Praise the Lord. So he says to her, well, here's what you're going to do. Go and borrow the vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Now, that's the instruction. You know, sometimes, you know, if we don't carry out the instruction exactly as it's given, you know, we may create a problem. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. You know, so, and when you are coming, shut the door upon you and your sons and pour out into those vessels and set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons who brought their vessels unto her and she poured out. Now just imagine that story. The sons probably went to all their neighbors, knocking from door to door. Can we borrow a few vessels? Maybe one neighbor gives them one, maybe one gives them two. They go to the next. Can we borrow? You know, and so on. We'll bring it back in a bit. Can we borrow? Can we borrow? Can we borrow? And they gathered as much and as many vessels as they could. Empty vessels. And the instruction was borrow not a few. Get as many as you can. When she shut the door, you know, why was it important for her to shut the door? Because that was the instruction the prophet gave. Shut the door. Shut out all distractions. Concentrate on what the Lord gave you. The instruction that he gave you. Concentrate on that and shut out all distractions. So she shut the door and she called out to her sons, bring me a vessel. And they brought it to her and she poured it out. Now, the whole time that she's doing this, she's thinking in her head, possibly, what manner of thing is this? You know, this may be the first time that she's experiencing this kind of word from the man of God. And it's like, well, he did ask me to pour out, you know, and make sure the door is shut now. And so she poured out and set it aside. And it's like, well, oh my goodness, maybe the first part was actually bigger than the container that she had her own oil in. Because I think the sons would have brought the largest pots first. And she was pouring it out and looking, you know, I don't know what she was thinking, but as she poured it out, she did not even have enough oil to start that will fill that pot. But somehow, as she poured out the oil, she poured out enough. And the pot that was larger than the container that she had was filled. And it was like, my goodness, you know. And so she said, that's why I said, bring me another one quickly. You know, I mean, because she now, by this time, you know, her heart is pumping, you know, their hearts are racing now because something is happening. They don't understand this thing, but something is happening. Hallelujah. Something is happening. And so they brought her another pot and she filled it. She said, that's right. Be careful now. Don't spill that oil. She told the boys, you know, and they brought another one in and they said, you know, she poured it out and she said, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And they keep bringing it and she's pouring it in and setting aside, and they're bringing it, and she's pouring it in and setting aside. Pretty much there's pots of oil all over the place. And then she says, you know, bring me yet another pot. And they say, well, we are out of pots. And the moment they said, we are out of pots, the oil stayed. The oil stayed, you know, and I wondered, you know, the first time I actually considered this story, I said, wow, what would have happened if they were able to find enough pots, you know, that she could have kept pouring out for a whole day, not just an hour or two, you know. And the answer is, you guessed it, you know, there would have still continued the supply. Supply would still have continued. The supply was going to continue for as long as there was a vessel to receive it. Glory to God. Now, that's our lesson today. The supply will continue as long as there is a vessel to receive it. But when the vessel, when there is no more vessel to receive it, then the oil spilled. Now, we can apply that to all areas of our lives. The Spirit of God, let's start with that. The Spirit of God, from the day that God, you know, sent His Holy Spirit into the early church, from that day, you know, the Holy Spirit was already given. Now, all we got to do now is come and receive. Yeah, Paul was writing to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, and he said to them, you know, just trying to encourage them to not depend on, you know, works of flesh and so forth, you know, but just to trust the Holy Spirit. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, let's think about that for a minute. You start out by believing the word of God. Now, at some point, you know, we allow the word of God to leak out of our minds, and then we try to start doing things in the flesh. Or you now try to help God out a little bit differently than the instruction that He gave, because you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know if that will continue to work. Well, the moment you think that, then it will cease. And the moment you don't bring those clean vessels to receive, empty vessels, that is, then you do stop. So, and He told them, He that ministereth the Spirit among you and walketh among you miracles, does He do it, you know, by the works of the Lord or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith, no doubt, because that's how God does these things. Now, so the scripture is giving us understanding today that, look, when God commanded the blessing, and He already did, He commanded the blessing, and it's left for us to, you know, come and receive it. You know, He's always dishing out. The way God dishes out, it's not because, it's not because, you know, He wants us to go do something first. You know, He just tells you, come and receive. And if you can come, and you can receive, and the, you know, keep coming. Whenever there is a need, just keep coming. You know, as long as there is a need, God has a supply. Actually, God's supply is continuous supply, multiple miracles, continuous supply. That's how He does it. The scriptures that we read, like Philippians 4 and 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you know, it's a continuous supply. As long as there is a need, you know, He's got the supply to match the need. Well, beyond that even, did He not say in the words of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us? So let me talk about that for just a minute. Well, if you can think it, so let's see. Let's say I have a need for, let me just be, make it simple. I have a need for $500 and I can think it, then God can supply it, you know, but it's according to the power that worketh in me. Well, that power works by the word. You know, how much are you able to believe? You know, how many vessels can you bring to contain what God, you know, to receive what God is about to dish out? Or, you know, when you receive a little bit, then you stop. And then, well, you know, but, you know, He's still there giving. You're just the one that's not receiving. You know, so, but it's according to the level of the power that is working in us. You know, so if my capacity to understand Him is no more than my $500, then maybe I'll get, I don't know, maybe he'll give me, $625 because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above, you know. But maybe if I was able to have capacity, you know, even though it was $500 I needed, I'm just using these numbers casually. Maybe if I had the capacity to think about it, really, even though it was $500 I needed, if I had the capacity to receive $700, maybe I would have gotten $975. You know, I don't know, because he's always able to do exceeding abundantly above. But you know, we have a limitation of our capacity in our thoughts, in our mental capacity. We have limitations. You know, I've often used this example of little kids. You know, they only have, I mean, as we are growing up, all of us have gone through this. You know, our mental faculties could not immediately at the beginning comprehend some very large numbers. So you only know so much, you know, when you are a child. And you can only count to so much. And, you know, I mean, if you ask a little child, maybe a two-year-old, once they start understanding money and you, you know, tell them to ask you for money, you know, and that you give to them, maybe they'll ask for a nickel or a quarter because that's all they know. Because that's how you have been, you know, giving them. You give them a nickel here, a quarter there, and they cherish it. But that's all they know. You know, the older they get, they learn that, well, there's actually this thing called the dollar, and they can figure it out. When they figure it out, then they will probably ask for not a quarter next time. Maybe they ask for a dollar. But you see, their capacity is still limited. They're not going to come to you and say, give me $1 million, because they don't have the capacity to understand that, you know. And I know, you know, experiences, I practice this with my grandkids all the time, even my current grandkids. they come into the house, you know, maybe then they're leaving, I give them something, you know, maybe, you know, one time it was a dollar, you know. Now the older one has figured out that he can get $5, you know, and yeah, so now he gets $5, you know, but he has not figured out yet, thankfully, how to ask me for it, $1,000. He hasn't figured that one out yet. You know, so, I mean, I can still safely keep those $5 bills because that's his capacity, you know, at the moment, you know, but, you know, there is supply. He just needed to figure it out and ask for more, you know, now, unlike God, I don't have the capacity to give him whatever he asks, you know, but God does. But even in my limited capacity, you know, what he gets is limited even further by his own capacity. See? And I want you to understand that. Because he doesn't understand. And if you tell children to count to the largest number they know, maybe some of them will count to 100 and stop. You know, so if they, when they get older, they count more and they stop. You know, but they may not be able to think in terms of millions or billions or trillions or quadrillions and so on. Even adults, you know, how many of us know all those zeros and those numbers, you know, and that's just an illustration. But the scripture is very clear. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. You know, now that's, you know, all of that means you got to keep bringing and he's able to supply. Well, let's check out this other story. And before I say a few more things, there's another interesting story here in 2 Kings chapter 13. This Elisha man, powerful prophet, you know, I mean, even when he was dying, his bones were still healing people. And even after he died, rather, and they put him in the grave, they threw a dead man in there. He came in contact with Elisha's dead bones. The man jumped up. That's how powerful this Elisha man was. The power of God was upon him. So here's a, this time around, he hadn't quite died yet, but he was sick, you know, and this was the sickness that eventually led to his death. So we pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 13. You know, so in this chapter, Elisha is sick. 2 Kings chapter 4, 13 and verse 14. Now, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. This was the sickness that led to his death. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over him and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. They remembered that Elisha used to say that. And I think maybe he always said it because he had an unforgettable experience when he saw Elijah taken up to heaven and the chariots came for him and parted them asunder. And he received what he had asked for. Because Elijah told him, well, you know, he asked him, can I have a double portion of your spirit? And the man said, well, you asked for a hard thing, but if you see me go up, then you'll get it. And that was it. And the man saw it. And he exclaimed, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, you know, they had chariots of fire that came for Elijah at the time. You know, and so the saying was probably noised abroad, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And, you know, it was something that was known with Elisha. You know how people used to, you know, just associate something with somebody. So this Elisha man was associated with this chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof saying. You know, so it was a saying that was noised abroad. And so when he was dying, and Joash came to him, and he remembered that saying that was noised abroad, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he said the same thing. And Elisha said, all right, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, because everybody is now sorrowful that this man's about to die. So Elisha says to him, well, take your bow and arrows. So the man take his bow and arrows. And he said to him, and he's giving him step-by-step instruction here. And he said, well, put your hand on the bow. You know, of course he was going to put his hand on the bow anyway. Now, he put his hand on it. And so Elisha is going to put a blessing on the thing. He puts his own hands upon the king's hands. And then he told him, see that window over there? Yeah, open that window eastward. Not that one. This one here. You know, so he goes there to open it. And then Elisha said, well, shoot. You know, I mean, he shot the arrow in the direction of Syria. You know, there were windows in that room, but he said, not that one, this other one. Open that one and shoot in that direction. So the man, you know, and as he shot the first arrow, the prophet said, that arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Now, so the prophet is going to speed that arrow. You know, he's going to give speed to that arrow. Speed it up with his own declaration. He's saying this arrow that you are shooting becomes, you know, it's going to become the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And it's going to be the arrow that's going to deliver you from Syria. Because Syria was tormenting them and oppressing them in the days. You know, and you will smite them, he said, until you have consumed them. And so he said, take the arrows and shoot them. And so the man took the arrows. The king Joash, he took the arrows, was a young man and all of that. He took the arrows and he shot the arrows out 3 times and stayed. See, that's that word again. He shot the arrows and stayed. And the man of God was wrath with him, was angry with him. He said, why did you stop? Why did you stop at 3? I tell you to stop at 3. You should have spent this 5, 6 or even more times. And now he told him something that the man never knew. You know, there was something that was hidden from his understanding when Elisha initially gave him commandment. It was hidden from his understanding that these arrows that he's going to shoot, the number of times he shot those arrows will be the number of times he would have victory over the Syrians. He didn't know that. If he would have known that, he probably would have shot more. But now Elisha reveals it and said, well, you know, you could have shot five or six or more times. And that would have been the number of times that you would have, you know, beaten down Syria until you consume them. But now you're only going to have three victories over Syria because you only shot the arrows three times. Now, at this point, it's too late to grab the arrows again and try to shoot more because he stopped, you know. So the lesson is this. You got to expand your faith horizon when you are on the roll with God. That's it. That's our lesson today. When you are on a roll with God, expand your faith horizon. Now, what is a horizon? Well, horizon is the is this imaginary line where it appears that the sky meets the ground. Well, expand your horizon when you are on a roll with God. Because when you put a limit on it or when you stop, then that's it. But if you keep on doing and keep on believing and keep on receiving, God can continue, you know, to supply. So the question today is, your cup, that the psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, is your cup actually running over? Or, as he always did, well, for the cup to run over, I mean, where would there be a need for the cup to run over? God doesn't need to give you more. He just needs to give you enough. Well, that's not how God operates. That's how some people think. But God doesn't want you to have just barely enough. He always likes to give us more than enough. Not for us to just survive, but that we can actually thrive. That way you have more than you need. You can overflow to someone else. Hallelujah. You know, but, you know, we can stay the hand of God because we stop believing. Now, that's the biggest punchline from today, if you want to call it that. Do not stay the hand of God by stopping, you know, I mean, stopping your believing. As long as you continue to believe, God will continue to supply. As a matter of fact, he has already commanded it. He has commanded that blessing already. You just don't know it. You know, just like the prophet, he knew something that this young Joash king didn't know. But he knew something. Now, my prayer today is, may the Lord give you understanding. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 13, I often refer to this verse, it's so powerful. Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Well, if Joash had known, you know, the Holy Spirit had shown him that the more arrows you shoot, the more victories you will have over your enemies, he would not have stopped at three. But he didn't have that revelation. So my prayer today is, may the Holy Spirit give us that kind of revelation. Show you already things to come, because he already knows what's coming. Because he declares the end from the beginning. You know, and that's who he is. You know, but for us to have powerful faith that creates continuous supply, you know, we need to align with what the Holy Spirit is saying and what he is doing. Hallelujah. You know, so Holy Spirit, here's what he says, Isaiah 46 and 10. Well, let me read it from verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I am God. It's none else. I am God. There's none like me. You know, sometimes God will tell us to remember the things he has done. Sometimes he tells us that don't limit me by the things I've done. I'm going to do new things. You know, he'll tell it both ways. In this place, he's saying, look, I've done great things. Sometimes you got to call that to remembrance. You got to remember the victory over the lion. You got to remember the victory over the bear, you know, to strengthen you for the present conflict against Goliath. You know, so In this case, he's telling, look, you know, I've done these things. I brought you out with a mighty hand. I've done all of these things and so forth. You know, and here's one more things I'm going to tell you. I'm the Lord that declared the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, you know, I mean, God will declare even the things that are not yet done. And as the Holy Spirit brings them to your understanding, you latch onto that in your prayer. That's how faith becomes so powerful. And you latch onto it and don't stop. When you're on a roll, listen to this. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's consider two or three verses there, verses 2 and 3. Consider what he says here. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Well, I say, I say, look, increase the scope of your faith horizon. That's right. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. And if you do not expand, you won't have enough room to receive it. Expand! Hallelujah. Expand, increase your faith horizon, and believe the Lord for more. Even as God said to Abraham, say, all that you can see. Well, he was limited by what he could see. You know, and how much can you see today? For all the place that you can see, according to Genesis 13, will I give it to you. If you can see more, then you will get more. Genesis 13 and 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15 of Genesis 13. The Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. And look all around you. Now, the secret is in what you see is what I can give you. The more of it that you can see. Now, if Abraham had somehow figured out how to climb to a higher level, because the higher you go, the farther out your horizon is. There's actually a mathematical formula for that. You know, and if you are on the ground level, you can only see so far. You might even be obstructed by things in your view. You know, but if you climb up high enough to, you know, I mean, you try it yourself. Go out someday to clear land and see how far the horizon looks. And if you go up to a high story building, like a 100-story building or something, you will see that you can see much farther out. You know, and the Lord said to him, look, if you can see it, that's what you can get. Glory to God. Now, if you don't see it, but how do you see it? Well, I gave it to you already. John 16 and 13. Holy Spirit is what will show you what is yet to come. Now, God wants us to prosper in everything, in spiritual things, in physical things, in our health, in material things. 3 John verse 2 says, yeah, wish you above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Jesus himself said in John 10 and 10, that the devil is the one that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, what is that all about? Well, steal your joy, kill your dreams, and even try to destroy your life. But I am the one that's come to give you, you know, life, and that abundantly. The miracles of supply and deliverance that God can give us will continue to flow as long as we keep believing. But when we stop believing, we may actually stay the hand of God. Now, there is an oil of gladness that God is putting upon you in this season. He has commanded it. You know, the oil of gladness is for us to enjoy. He's anointing your head with it. I'm going to pray over this room in a bit. that the Lord will give us understanding of how to expand our horizon, how to bring your vessels, not a few, you know, and so on and so forth, and how to keep on believing, because the more you believe, the more you can get, you know. But when you stop believing, and these stories that we have seen, then we see that this thing will end. The thing would stop. And the woman, you know, if somehow she had managed, and all her sons, to keep on bringing those vessels, I mean, you know, it would have just continued. The Bible says that the Lord will anoint your head with the oil of gladness. Psalm 45 and verse 7. We anoint your head with the oil of gladness. Glory to God. He says also the same thing in Isaiah 61. You know, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is bringing the anointing of the oil of gladness upon you, you know, to replace the mourning. You know, give you the oil of gladness in the place of mourning. Give you a garment of praise in the spirit, instead of the spirit of heaviness. And I give you a crown of beauty, royal beauty, even in the place of ashes. We don't need to put ashes on our head. You know, God's already given us the supply that we need. A short exhortation today for us to keep on believing. Now, the way the Lord looks at it, you know, sometimes he's actually saddened. Maybe we don't think about that, but sometimes the Lord is saddened. He's saddened by the fact that we are not believing him, and we are not receiving the things that he's willing to freely give us. But if you can, he says, the Lord has appointed unto me, anointed me to appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Isaiah 61 verse 3. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now that oil of joy, that oil of gladness that he's anointing you with, you can let it come into your cup and let it keep coming and let it keep coming and let it keep coming until it's flowing over. Don't stay in the hand of God through unbelief or through stopping to believe him. Now, in the stories throughout the gospel, multiple places of where Jesus took the a few loaves and a couple fishes, and he multiplied it to bless and to feed the disciples. I mean, you know all the story. There are many in the book of John, some of them in the book of Matthew, you know, but let me just read this one in the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus said, look, you know, give them to eat. They said, well, you know, yeah, we can't. You know, send them away. You know, go by. I said, well, you don't need to send them away. You give them to eat. So they said, well, you know, what are we going to give them? We only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, well, that's enough. You bring it to me. And then he commanded them to sit down in companies. And when he did, it's the amazing thing. And I often call it out. And let's consider it again today, because it goes with today's lesson. He commanded a multitude to sit down on the grass. Matthew 14 and verse 19. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave their loaves to his disciples. Disciples to the multitudes. So you see that the act of multiplying was happening in the hands of the disciples. You know, as long as there were more people to feed, there were, you know, fishy pieces of fish and pieces of bread to hand out. I mean, it started out with just 5 loaves and two fishes. In another story, it says it was a small boy's lunch. So how big could it have been? That's all his mother packed for him. And he said, I want to go with the crown. And he says, well, you know, make sure you come back before it's dark. But here, come, get this. Take this with you in case you get hungry. And the boy was so excited with all the things he was hearing and seeing Jesus do and so forth, he didn't even remember to eat his lunch. You know, and he gave it up and said, you know, what do we have here? I said, well, I still got my lunch. Are you going to eat it? Well, no, not right now. You can have it. He gave it up. So it was a small boy's lunch. So how big could it have been? It was probably just a sack lunch. When Jesus blessed that, he put it in the hands of the disciples. And the miracle of continuous supply was happening right out of the hands of the disciples. Right out of their hands. You know, as long as the crowd was still there and some of them had not received, that supply kept on going on. But the disciples had to keep on believing. If at any moment they said, you know, they stopped believing, thank God that they continue to believe, because otherwise we wouldn't have this great testimony of this miracle that we're reading today. They continue to believe, but the Lord already put a blessing on it. And he put it right back in the hands of the disciples. But I want you to notice, the Lord put it right back in their hands. Not the Lord himself did not give to the crowd. He gave it to the disciples. You know, so whatever it is that we put in God's hands, and he put a blessing on it, he put it right back in your hands. Glory to God. Now you go do something with it. Hallelujah. God always gives us the means. You know, he doesn't necessarily give us the end all the time, but he gives us the means. According as it is written in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. The Lord, you remember the Lord thy God. For he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, not exactly the wealth itself, but it gives you that power to get it. You know, and when that power is with you, it's like the inspiration of the Almighty. It gives it to you. You understand things that others don't understand. It gives you incredible knowledge, you know, of how to do these things. You know, and he's the one that gives you power to get wealth. You know, so that's what the Lord does. He'll give you the power. When there is a need, he'll show you the means of how you know, make that supply. And, you know, I mean, he told Noah that the flood was coming, but Noah was going to have to build the ark. See, the Lord has told you the flood is coming, but you are going to have to build the ark. God didn't build the ark, but he showed him where to get the timber. He showed him all the supply. He showed him how to do it. Even gave him the skills on how to do it. Incredible skill. Technology that surpasses even what we know today. Even though he didn't have, skills that surpasses what technology gives us to. Even though he didn't have those technology. And he was able to build that ark. My goodness. You know. But he had to build the ark. Got to give you the wood and the timber. Or show you where to find it. But you're going to have to do it. Hallelujah. But you have to keep on believing. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 also says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. You know, not exactly just bring all the profit to you, but will teach you how to get it. You know, and you know, you got to go get the, you know, vessels and bring it to the point of supply. And keep on believing. We're always partners with God in this act of continuous supply. That's the other punchline today. Partners with God in the miracles and act of his continuous supply. So when we stop believing, then the oil stays. And when we stop acting upon the word, then the word has no further effect. You know, so that's it. God will bless and put it right back into your hands. If you have an idea which came from God in the first place, you know, then he'll bless that idea and put it right back into your hands. But you are the one that's going to have to carry it out. Hallelujah. And that's how it works. He's put a blessing on it, but you go carry it out. He's put a blessing on the two fish five loaves and two fishes, but he'll put it right back in the hands of the apostles. And then you go do something with it. Hallelujah. And as long as you keep, you know, as long as there's somebody else to receive, then you can keep dishing it out and multiplying the hands. And can you imagine them? You know, they dish out, but it does not get depleted. They dish out, does not get depleted. They dish out, does not get depleted. It was actually multiplying in their hands. I mean, it was like, you know, when everybody was now served, all of a sudden, there was nothing to dish out anymore. Just imagine that. But as long as the crowd still needed to be fed, they could still dish it out. Glory to God. So that's the same thing that we must apply in our lives. As long as the need is there and we are believing, God is supplying, you know. So let's go right back to where we started. And I'll ask this question again. The oil of gladness that the Lord is anointing your life with, is your cup running over, or has the oil stayed? And the cup will keep running. The oil will keep flowing and the cup will fill up and run over as long as you keep believing. But when we stop believing, then the oil will stay. So if the oil has stayed and you're no longer seeing the miraculous supply of God, perhaps you have stopped believing. Hallelujah. So that's how it works. You heard me say oftentimes, bring your vessel to the ocean and take your fill. You can bring a bucket. You can bring a barrel. You can even bring a tanker. Bring whatever you want. Take as many as you want. Come as often as you want. But it's still there. You know, it doesn't matter how much you take. It's still there. Come back as often as you want. You know, take whatever you need. Bring a bring a greater number of vessels, or bring a larger capacity of a container. Whatever it is, bring it. It's there for your taking. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. Now, let's not stop the hand of God through disbelief and unbelieving minds. But let's keep on believing. Simple lesson today, but hopefully it blesses your day. Now, don't start in the spirit and try to end up in the flesh. When God gives you the commandment, believe it with all your heart. The blessing is in it. And don't try to turn it around and start imagining if God can do it. Well, God can do it. And he's doing it. But can you receive it? Praise God. And even when you are believing God, you know, and you're just waiting, it's right around the corner. But can you smell what God is cooking? He's already cooking it and he's ready to serve it. But can you smell it? You know, but don't let's limit God by not believing. This is our lesson today. And the Holy Spirit can expand it into your soul, expand it into your spirit, actually. And, you know, you can take this word and run with it. You know, not just the blessing of yesterday, but a blessing today. Not just today, early in the morning, but throughout the day. And then next day and so on. Keep on believing. God is able to do it. I mean, God doesn't have to go to the well. He is the well already. So, you know, he is the fountain. He is the well. He is the ocean. He is the everything. You're the one that's coming to the well. You come. Hallelujah. Come ye, all ye that thirst, he said. Come to the waters and take. Come and buy without price and without money. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Come and do it. You know, he's already got it. The supply is there. It's yours for that taking. The supply is there. It's also yours for the asking. Now, not only material things, spiritual things as well. You know, when you're asking for guidance from God, it's not a one-time God. Now, one day he will just give you wisdom. And then the next day he won't talk to you again and you can't hear his voice forever. No, you know, We are the ones that are not listening. He's always speaking. You got to tune in the frequency, make sure you are aligned with him. And he'll give you instruction, and he'll continue to give you instruction, because he said that he, the comforter, may be with you. I'll send you that comforter. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we got to keep asking him. We got to keep telling him, show me the way. He showed you the way yesterday. Don't try to do it yourself today. Hallelujah. You know, he will show you the way. And when you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the lesson today. A simple lesson. But if we take it in our hearts, it can be helpful to us. I pray, Lord, that you expand the word into the hearts of the people, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God, and know that our God is able to continue to supply as long as we continue to believe. We thank you, Lord, and we give you the praise and give you the glory. Now, what is it that you have? What's in your hand? The Lord asked Moses. Why do you stand there crying unto me? What's in your hand? The beginning of your miracle is already in your hand. But the Lord's going to tell you, he's going to give you instruction on what to do. Listen to him and do it exactly right. Stretch your hand over, you know, the sea. Hallelujah. Or do this or do that. That's the Lord will give you that instruction. And the next thing you know, a powerful miracle right in front of your eyes. May the Lord cause our ears to hear, cause our eyes to see as the Spirit sees, and give us, you know, an understanding heart to receive the inspiration of the Almighty. Glory and honor to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.